Hey guys, welcome back into another NBA podcast. I am Cody Grant, alongside me, Ryan Horvat. Playoffs start now. NBA playoffs all set. That long regular season is over with. Finally, we can get into some playoff basketball. Ryan, I know you're excited. I'm pumped. Let's get into this, man.
Yeah, I'm Jack. This is always the best time of the year for the NBA. You get excited for the playoffs, and you get a little depressed because like 15 guys get fired immediately after
the season. Yeah, already three coaches fired. Jeff Hornacek, Frank Vogel, and Steve Clifford today.
Gone too. So, yeah, I just met Hornacek like 2 weeks ago. He's already gone, man.
Yeah, what'd you ask him again?
If he thought he was going to be back next year. No, I didn't.
Nah, that would have been nice if he did, though.
I don't even remember what I asked him, man. I mean, that was a...
How was defending Giannis?
Yeah, probably something stupid like that. Just trying to get some sound.
Why was Giannis difficult to defend tonight?
Yeah, but I'm jacked for the playoffs. There's a lot of great matchups. Let's just go through each. Let's start with the first round.
Yeah, do you want to go to the Western Conference or Eastern Conference?
Let's do the West first.
Okay, we'll start with the West. We'll start with the 1-8 and work our way down. So the one, Houston Rockets, a little bit of a surprise this year. They add Chris Paul, and people thought, man, will this work? Well, it's definitely worked. James Harden, MVP candidate, probably will bring it home, and they're going to play the 8th-seeded T-Wolves, who won the last game of the season over the Nuggets to get into the spot. Jimmy Butler was hurt for a few weeks. That definitely dropped them down the standings, and now they're going to have to pay for it because they got to play Houston.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. In fact, Minnesota's already technically played a playoff game.
Yeah, it was a play-in game. I mean, game 82 was a play-in game this year for Minnesota in Denver, and Minnesota got the win, and their young talent will finally get their first opportunities in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler has experience, but not Karl-Anthony Towns, not Andrew Wiggins, not guys like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up against Houston.
I took a lot away, I took a lot of keys away from that game just watching that pretty much that play-in game against the Nuggets. Taj Gibson is still a lockdown defender.
Dude, he's great.
Jokic was on fire in the first half. He couldn't miss anything. In the fourth quarter, Taj completely shut him down. The second thing I noticed is Andrew Wiggins, you could put him on a milk carton. He disappears, especially in the fourth quarter. Like the last four possessions of the game that the Timberwolves had the ball in a tie game or down or, you know, up one, it was just Jimmy Butler isolation, waves everybody off and goes one-on-one. Karl-Anthony Towns was dominating that game, and I think he had like four touches only in the fourth quarter. But Wiggins is just not involved in that offense whatsoever. So,
well, Wiggins is a very similar player to Jimmy Butler.
And problem,
when you
right?
look at the two, I mean, who's the better player? It's Jimmy Butler. He's the better player, no question. And, why, you know, Andrew Wiggins... He's made a history for himself of a guy that disappears in moments where things aren't going his way. So I didn't want to say big moments because it's not true. He does show up in big moments every once in a while, but he's kind of has that little immatureness to him where if things aren't going his way, if he's not getting his touches early, he will disappear. He will get disinterested. And now that Jimmy Butler is there, we've already seen it. We've already seen Andrew Wiggins speak up about it. He doesn't like it. He does not like being the number two. And on this team, he's the number three because you have Karl-Anthony Towns as well. So I don't see Minnesota lasting very long in the playoffs.
No.
I think they could win one game. You know, if Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns both have huge nights and James Harden isn't hitting his three balls as well as he has been all season, about 45% this year. So I think Minnesota loses, obviously. I don't think there's any chance they pull off the upset. But I think they get one game, maybe game three or game four.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they even take him to six just because I think Tibbs is a great coach. I think Jimmy Butler will bring it. But, I mean, going back to Wiggins, he's like the fourth option on that team. Jeff Teague gets more touches. Obviously, he brings the ball up.
Yeah,
the
don't forget
guard,
about
man,
Teague.
I mean, he's taking care of the ball this year. He's averaging like 7 assists, only 2 turnovers. But Minnesota as a whole, I just see them being turnover prone. And we don't even really have to focus on this series too much because Houston's going to roll through them.
No, let's go to the next series, which I think is the most compelling first-round series of both conferences, maybe, even over the Bucks and Celtics. It's the 4-5 matchup with the OKC Thunder and the Utah Jazz. Who would have expected the Jazz to play this good? I mean, they're the top defensive team in the NBA. They have probably the defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert. No more Gordon Hayward. They traded Rodney Hood at the deadline.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a team of just nobodies, really, when you look at the roster, and they're competing. And I think they're going to give OKC a run for their money.
They could win that series. I mean, realistically.
I mean, what are the odds on that series?
I'll take a look at what those are at live, what they currently are. I'll take a look at it. It was pretty interesting when it first came out. But how about just Donovan Mitchell? I mean, Utah is led by a rookie in scoring, 20.5 points per game. He's been terrific this season. Taking a look at the odds on that series, and for, you know, I'm kind of a degenerate. So
well,
I
one thing about
up.
Donovan okay, Mitchell see? As well is he also broke the rookie record for three-pointers made. I mean, he does everything well in today's NBA, and he's going to be a guy that's going to go after Ben Simmons for the Rookie of the Year title. You've already seen
they're going
this,
at it right now.
This is why I love
media.
The NBA.
I
mean, because there's so much savagery, in so much drama, and so much. It's a soap opera watching the NBA. It really is. And Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons are going after each other on social media. And Donovan Mitchell, did you just see the sweatshirt he was wearing?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, it was great.
And I'm kind of on Donovan Mitchell's side, him going at Ben Simmons and saying, you're not even a rookie, man.
Yeah. No, of course.
I mean, technically,
you know,
he's a rookie, but that's because he didn't play last year.
He is
year.
A rookie because that's the way the rule works.
Right.
But you can argue if it should be a rule. You can't argue if it is a rule or not because it's not. Because that's how Blake Griffin won his Rookie of the Year. He missed his whole first year due to injury, but he came back the next year, won Rookie of the Year. But as for Ben Simmons, he is considered a rookie. He will be in the running for Rookie of the Year. But Donovan Mitchell, I mean, there's an argument to be made why he should be the guy.
Yeah, I think Ben Simmons is the better player. He has the higher ceiling. I think he's going to be the better player when it's all said and done. But I think Mitchell's the Rookie of the Year. I mean, we just said it, 20 points per game, and he led the Utah Jazz, who lost their two best players. Well, I wouldn't say their two best players. Rudy Gobert is one of their best players. But they lost Gordon Hayward, who's one of their best players, going into the offseason. They're still in the postseason. They were good this year, and he's been fantastic. Looking at those series odds, going back to that, though, OKC minus 145, Utah plus 125. So Utah the dogs, but there's good value in that. In
They're
fact,
giving Utah a shot.
Some money on Utah. I think the main difference is going to be Russell Westbrook's going to want to get out of the first round. He's going to want to prove he's not a stat patter, especially after the
he
other
is
night
a stat
he
patter.
Pulling down rebounds just to
what do you have in that
level.
Last game? 20 rebounds?
20 rebounds.
Yeah,
I mean,
he needed 16, and
I
he is a stat patter.
Quote. He was like, you know, any player in the NBA could go out there and get 20 rebounds whenever they want. It's like, do you want to try, though? I mean, he is a stat patter, but man, it's exciting to watch.
Well, one thing about Russell Westbrook that you cannot dispute with him, he does try. He plays every possession like it's his last.
Right.
He is an exciting player. He is extremely athletic, not a good shooter. He's only shot 29% from three-point range.
Right.
But he will go after you offensively and defensively. But yeah, he does stat grab a lot of rebounds and a lot of assists. But it's a fun dynamic with OKC because they have these future Hall of Famers, three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Melo's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Paul George, you got to expect, maybe not at this point in his career, but a few years down the line, he will be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And then Russell Westbrook, of course, I mean, he's the first player in NBA history to have 2 years averaging a triple-double.
Yeah.
The only one that has averaged one in the past was Oscar Robertson. So Russell Westbrook, definitely a Hall of Fame player. But when he's compared to these top guys in the NBA, like the LeBron James, the Steph Curry, the Kevin Durant of the world, Russell Westbrook takes a back seat to them because he hasn't proven that he can make it big in the big games sense of getting to the finals.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he was there with Kevin Durant and James Harden, they couldn't get it done against Miami. And now he has an opportunity to be the main guy and do it. And I don't know if he has enough, but I think he has enough to get by Utah.
Same here. And that's the thing. And when, you know, you're talking playoffs, you got to focus defensively. And Paul George is a great two-way player. He defends on the perimeter, so they'll have that. When Westbrook wants to defend, he could defend.
The game slows down in the playoffs, and you need to have a secondary guy. And I don't think Donovan Mitchell has that. So they're going to focus all their attention on Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Too much inexperience. He's going to get frustrated very early on. He's going to take some bad shots, and OKC is going to run away with it. But I still think the Jazz push it to six games.
I could even see it going seven, to be honest. I think, you know, you got a rim protector and Steven Adams. I think that OKC is obviously the better team. I think Carmelo could finally show up. He's been shit all year long, but I mean, he wants to win a playoff series too. So I think he might show up on the offensive end. I mean, if you get 18 to 20 from Melo in this series, then you're good. You know, the Thunder in five or six. But I could even see this going seven games. But I think, like, if I'm betting it, value in Utah plus 125, but OKC. I'm going to go OKC. We'll say in seven. I'm going to go seven in that.
So OKC seven for you, OKC six for me. Let's go down to the 3-6 matchup. Portland, kind of always there, a little surprising because they don't have a lot of star power beyond Damian Lillard. I know they have CJ McCollum, but the rest of the roster isn't built like a 3 seed in the Western Conference. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but they always prove us wrong, and they're always there in the end. The regular season, and then they try to make their playoff run. They play the 6-seed Pelicans, who only have one star, Anthony Davis, who I think is going to be the best player on the court in this series, even over Damian Lillard. And this is my upset pick of the first round in the Western Conference. I think the Pelicans can take down Portland.
Would you lay some money on that? Because the Pelicans are plus 160. So
yeah, I
really
would lay some money
on that
because there is a good value. And I think that the Pelicans have just enough to match up defensively with Portland and match up on the offensive end. If they keep running their offense the way they're doing and feeding Anthony Davis, running through Anthony Davis, I think the best thing for New Orleans this year, and I hate to say it, was DeMarcus Cousins going down with the injury.
Think so? Because I think if Cousins plays, I think they beat Portland. I think without him, I like Portland in this series. This is going to go seven, I think. I mean, I'm all for it. I'm ready for this because this finally features the young talent of the NBA. I love Dame. I love what he said a couple of weeks ago when they asked him about staying in Portland, and he's like, you know, they drafted me. I'm going to be loyal. If I don't win a championship, then I don't win a championship. I'm going to stay here. I loved that answer because he wasn't like bullshitting around it. He was very honest about it, and I believe him. I don't believe half of the shit that comes out of these guys' mouth anymore. Everybody's looking to win, and you have to, and everybody's looking to make money. He's going to make his money, and he's a really good player. CJ's a really good player. They have some nice pieces there. But, man, I loved that answer, and I love him. He's one of my favorite guards in the league, one of my favorite players overall in the league. And I think Portland wins that series. And, you know, even a couple years ago when they played the Warriors, granted Steph Curry was out in that series, but they gave him a run for their money.
Oh, absolutely. They're a pretty solid team. They're a good team. I mean, they have good role players on that team, and they have a good foundation.
Yeah.
One of the best backcourts in the NBA. The only ones you probably can't put them up against is Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, but you look at John Wall, Bradley Beal, I think Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum can take those guys down. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry in Toronto, I think I'd rather have Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So there's not too many backcourts you could put ahead of Dame and CJ.
But that is going to be a great series. I mean, you're right about that. And Anthony Davis needs to win a playoff
series. He does.
Because that finally kind of hushes the critics a little bit that say you never won.
And really quick, I want you to take it back to my comment because I'm a huge DeMarcus Cousins fan. I don't mean they're better off without DeMarcus Cousins, but what I mean is the offense completely changed and they built around Anthony Davis. I think they're harder to defend now.
Yeah.
Now, if they could just implement that when DeMarcus Cousins come back next year, they're going to be an extremely scary team. But Anthony Davis has to be the focal point. He's the best player on the squad.
Absolutely. He averaged 28 this year, 11 rebounds. The key stat, 53% he shoots from the field. I mean, you're going to say he's a big man, but I mean, he shoots from the outside too. He literally can do it all. One of my favorite players.
He's Giannis with the jump shot.
Yeah, that's going to be a great series. I am going to take Portland. They have home court advantage. I think Damian Lillard's been in the playoffs. I mean, I know he's been in the playoffs before. He has that experience. He's played against guys like Steph Curry. So I'm going to go Portland, but man, I'm looking forward to that series. I think that's the most intriguing matchup of the first round.
How many games you got that going?
I'm going to say seven.
I got Pelicans winning in seven. So I got Pelicans winning in Portland, game seven, to move on in advance and eventually lose.
The X factor of that series could be Rondo, as crazy as that sounds. He had a pretty good year. I mean, he always puts up the assist numbers. I mean, he's always at about 9, 10, but
Ryan,
even last year we saw it with the Bulls.
It's funny,
man.
Yeah.
He's a leader.
And I was just about to say that. I mean, if Rondo doesn't go down that series, I don't think Boston gets out of the first round last year.
In fact, when they were talking, remember I brought it up on the first podcast that we did, I was like, DeMarcus Cousins said that if he didn't go out with an injury, that he thinks that they would have won the championship, that they could beat the Warriors, and Rondo has been in those guys' ear telling them, like, nobody could stop you guys. You guys are the new Twin Towers. Nobody could stop you. He's a leader. He's going to be a hell of a coach. I know people think he's just his head case, which, yeah, he's a little crazy, but, I mean, who isn't? I love Rondo, and I think he could be the X factor in that series. I'll still take Portland, though.
Well, yeah, he played with Kevin Garnett, maybe one of the biggest loopy guys out there, hell of a player. Great player, and, of course, Paul Pierce, and then Ray Allen on that squad as well, that Boston 08 championship team. The next one I think is probably the easiest one to predict maybe this series in this playoffs on the Western Conference side, the 2-7 matchup, the Golden State Warriors, the defending champions. They've won the last two title. No, I'm sorry, the last title. They're going for their third title in four years. Cleveland beat them 2 years ago, my mistake. Kevin Durant, Steph Curry is out in this series, correct?
Was that
Steph Curry is not playing this series. He's not playing this series. But neither is Kawhi Leonard for San Antonio. And without Kawhi, if Kawhi Leonard was playing in the series, I would say San Antonio has a chance to get by Golden State just because of Kawhi Leonard and not having Steph Curry on the other side of the ball. But I think Golden State has enough to get by a Spurs team with no Kawhi Leonard, albeit Greg Popovich, the head coach, and you still got LaMarcus Aldridge there. Manu Ginobili off the bench, Tony Parker off the bench. Those guys are not the same as they used to
be. Bunch of old dudes.
They just don't have enough to get by Golden State, as young as they are, as quick as they are. and as good of an outside shooting team as they are.
The craziest stat that I saw about this Spurs team is that Paul Gasol leads them in assists this year, and he's only averaging 3 a game. I mean, granted, Tony Parker is getting a little bit older. He's out of the starting lineup, but it's just not the same Spurs team.
But even when Tony Parker was the point guard, he never averaged high assists.
No,
but
he wasn't like a 12-assist guy, but I mean, they
move the ball.
As a team, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as a team, they've always been a high-assist team,
right?
But they never had a guy really averaging high assists. But that stat still is outstanding. What, 3 assists, you said?
Yeah, that's
as your team
right
leader,
there.
Man, that's low.
Every other key stat is LaMarcus Aldridge. He's literally had to do it all, and he's still a great player, but at his age right now and at this stage of his career, he can't be your 1A guy, or, well, your number one option. So without Kawhi, yeah, the Warriors will still roll without Steph Curry because Kevin Durant will be obviously the best player on the court. Nobody's stopping him. They won't have an answer. Who are you going to put on Kevin Durant?
Nobody. Exactly. Nobody can guard Kevin. Now, LeBron James can't guard Kevin Durant. That's how good Kevin Durant is.
Right.
Stephen Curry, he has been teasing a return in the first round. I just don't see it happening.
I was listening to Cowherd yesterday, and they were talking about a couple people who were saying, and just like I've been listening to various radio shows, of people that are skeptical, is he even going to return for the playoffs? I think he will be back.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I mean, wouldn't even be surprised if they held him out, though. If things are moving well,
why play him?
Save him for the Western Conference Finals, especially if you're going to get Houston.
No, I agree. And if you get, I mean, I think a team like Portland or New Orleans, if you get those two teams,
right.
I still think you can beat them without Steph Curry. I mean, I think they're just that stacked.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you could beat Houston without Steph Curry.
No.
I think you might be able to take them to 6 or 7, but I think Houston
wins. I've always
that
said Steph Curry is the most important player on this team.
Yeah.
But even with Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and the bunch of role players they got with, you know, Iguodala, Zaza Pachulia, and Sean Livingston, guys like that, they have enough to get by some of these lesser Western Conference teams. I think they're going to have enough without Steph Curry in this first round against a Spurs team that doesn't have Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, Golden State.
So I got Golden State in 5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 5-2 on that. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Let's head over to the Eastern Conference. Real quick recap on the Western Conference. We both have Golden State over the San Antonio Spurs. I have the Pelicans over the Blazers. You have the Blazers. We both picked the Thunder over the Jazz, albeit a tough series. And then we have both have the Rockets over the T-Wolves. So we're going to the Eastern Conference, start with the 1-8 as always. The Toronto Raptors over the Washington Wizards. Raptors, I am never sold high on them. I think they're playing at a very high level of basketball right now in Washington. What is with Washington, man? They were supposed to be right up there, 4 or 5 seed, maybe competing for the 3rd seed before the season started. But the team they have, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter, that big three, but they haven't been able to put it together. And John Wall's been hurt for a while this year. They were playing better without John Wall. This series, I can't see the Wizards. They've taken a huge step back from last year, and I don't know where it's come from, but they don't look like a good basketball team. They don't look like a playoff basketball team. I don't think they have anywhere close enough to compete with Toronto.
It's just insane. I mean, because they have so much talent on that team, but they don't get along. That's the thing. They played better without John Wall because, and I mean, I'm not in the locker room. I don't live in Washington, but I can tell you right now, they don't like John Wall. All those comments. I mean, they kind of had a team-only meeting when he did come back.
And they just lost Jody Meeks. Suspended 25 games for the playoffs after was going to miss the playoffs because he's suspended for 25 games for violating the NBA anti-drug program.
I mean, that's the craziest shit, though, because they have all this talent. Bradley Beal and John Wall are probably the best backcourt in the Eastern Conference. Outside of, I mean, I'd say in the league, but obviously I'm going to go with the Splash Brothers. I'll probably go with CJ and Dame over them, but they're right there. Bradley Beal averaged, you know, almost 23 again this year. John Wall is one of the best point guards in the league. But they played better without him, and it's because the craziest thing is when they were playing so well without him, there was a quote saying, everybody eats when John Wall's not playing, pretty much, which is crazy because he's a 10 assist guy, 11 assist guy.
Yeah.
So how is everybody eating without him?
It's surprising.
The ball moves better without him. I don't know why. The ball moves better when John Wall's on the bench.
John Wall, I think, is a very underrated point guard, but he doesn't get the credit from his teammates that you know, he deserves, or we think he deserves, because like you said, we're not in the locker room. We don't know what's going on.
Right.
The in and outs. I just got an update, too, from Steph Curry. He is targeting a return in round 2.
Round 2. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's about
like
what
I said,
expect,
even without him in round 1,
right.
I don't see a problem for
that
the Warriors
change.
Against us. I don't see any problem. I still pick him in 5 games. So we both got Toronto here. I think it's going to be a sweep or a five-game series.
The crazy thing is, though, I also wouldn't be surprised if we saw, like, the biggest upset in NBA history at 8-1, and Washington won that in 7, just because they have all the talent in the world. And every other year, Washington's really good, and we're like, holy shit, they finally put it together. They're finally getting along.
When were they
last
just
year,
in
we
the
were like, John Wall and Bradley Beal finally like each other. I don't know if they like each other off the court, but they seem to be getting along on the court, and that's all that matters. And then this year, brutal again. So I will pick Toronto, but I wouldn't be surprised either way. I don't really trust
either team.
What
is Washington? Are they 2 years out from the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, 2 years out, and I just don't really... But these are two teams that I do not trust. So I will take Toronto, though. They've had the better season. They're the better team. They seem to actually get along, which always helps. So I'm going to go with the Raptors in this series.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let's go from two teams we don't trust at all to one player we have the utmost trust in. That's LeBron James and his Cleveland Cavaliers squad, the 4 seed, one of the lowest seeds he's been in since
forever.
He's had his run to the finals. Yeah. I can't remember him being lower. He's had a couple 2 seeds in there, but never a 4 seed. As long as he's been making his run to the finals, he's going to be facing off with the Cavs against a very exciting, surprising Indiana Pacers team who gave up their star player in the summer, Paul George, and in return found a gem in Victor Oladipo and Sabonis.
I was going to say, in return, they got their leading scorer this season. Depot averaged 23 points per game on 47% shooting. And then they got Sabonis, who averaged almost 8 rebounds, including 5 on the defensive end. So, I mean, their 2 best players, arguably, well, 2 of their better players, their leading scorer and their best rebounder, they got in that trade for Paul George. So they ended up making out pretty well, and they've been exciting as hell all year. One of my favorite teams to watch on the League Pass. I don't bet against LeBron, but I think this does go 6 or 7 because I think the Pacers are young, they're hungry. Depot's going to want to prove something. I mean, he's been to the playoffs before, but he was a second fiddle in OKC. They had no idea what they were doing with him. That just shows, though, Russell Westbrook, hell of a player, but really tough to play with.
And we talked about this on a few podcasts ago when Russell Westbrook was putting up, he puts up these stats. He's a stat stuffer. There's no denying
LeBron's
that.
LeBron's a stat stuffer, too.
Exactly. Though. And I'm not saying anything bad about Russell Westbrook when I say he's a stat stuffer. It's not a bad thing because it shows you are trying. You know what I mean? But he's a hell of a basketball player. But, I think he's tough to play with. And that's shows you that what Victor Oladipo can do. Now, I don't know why the Magic couldn't find this from Oladipo. I mean, what was his highest average?
Just gave up on him a little bit too early,
maybe.
I think.
You know, because he was trending upwards. He was a number 2 overall pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he came out in that draft with, I think, Anthony Bennett went number 1 overall.
Yeah, he was a hell of a
player. Cavs missed
out
on him. Yeah, he was. And he's a very charismatic player, too, as we saw him in the dunk contest a few years ago. Victor Oladipo, though, has been great. Miles Turner, their 6'11 center. Miles Turner, who's a very good player. They have a lot of interest in him for their future.
Darren Collison's been pretty good this year.
Yeah, you got Thaddeus Young, who has always been a very versatile wing player, long, athletic, good defender, okay shooter. They got guys on this team that they can cause troubles, but I think LeBron James and this Cavs squad, they won't have a whole lot of troubles with them. I think in games will be close, but I think at the end of in the fourth quarter, they'll start pulling away.
Right.
I have the Cavs winning in 5.
Yeah, I'll go Cavs in 6. I'll give the Pacers 2 wins in this series just because I think that they're a pretty solid team. So I'll go Cavs in 6 on that.
Exciting series. Another one I want to look at is the 3-6 matchup.
So jacked for the series.
The 76ers. By the way, game 1, Joel Embiid will not play in game 1. One of their better players. Of course, so you still got Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz, who's really come on. Had his triple-double, his first one, a few nights ago against the Bucks. And he was the youngest player ever to get a triple-double in a basketball game here in the NBA. And they're facing off against the Miami Heat.
I think I could have got a triple-double in that game, though.
Maybe. Miami Heat, who I think have probably the most underrated coach in Eric Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm.
The Heat have been a fun team to watch. No stars on that team at all. They don't have one all-star, and they have the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference against the 76ers in that first round. What do you see happening in this series?
I'm rooting hard for the Heat just because they have a fellow Slovenian. There's not many of them, but Goran Dragic is one of my favorite players in the league. No, but I think the 76ers are actually going to win a playoff series, which is crazy. As long as Joel Embiid is able to come back for game 2 is when I think that they're going to need him, because I believe that's Monday because game 1's Saturday. So I like the 76ers, but the thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami found a way to get it done just because you already brought up Spoelstra, and I think he's just going to coach circles around the 76ers. I think that's two great coaches, two great head coaches going at it, but Spoelstra has the playoff experience, so that's why I do think. I mean, he's got championships. I know people are going to say, oh, that don't matter. He had Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, Chris Bosh, but... he's a hell of a coach. That's going to be a great series. A lot of young talent. I can't wait to see Ben Simmons in a playoff game. I can't wait to see that. It's going to be awesome.
One thing Philly does extremely well is they play defense. They're the third best defense in the NBA, and they have the fourth best net rating in the NBA. And the Sixers are a hell of a defensive team, and they have a bunch of young stars like Ben Simmons, Markelle Fultz, Joel Embiid. The only worry I have with the Sixers is if Joel Embiid isn't fully healthy, because if he's not, that takes a huge chunk of their offense away, and their defense really is a good defensive player. Well, I don't think they'll have any problem with Miami without Joel Embiid if he's not fully healthy, but as long as he comes back game two, I think the Sixer team can take down Miami in five or six games.
The craziest part about the series is just how different both styles are. I mean, the 76ers are like a fast, defensive-minded team, like you said, and the Heat like to grind it out.
Yeah, they play slow, and that works for the I mean, the playoffs, that's a slow pace.
That's what you're going to see in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see like if Philadelphia is going to slow things down, run some offensive sets, and kind of get into the flow of the game, or if they're going to come out game one like a deer in headlights, especially without Joel Embiid, just because it's their first playoff game, a bunch of young dudes. But, you know, I mean, we say that, but the league's changed so much. It's always like, oh, you know, what are they going to be like come playoff time? And then these guys just go out there, they're calm, they're collect. I mean, it doesn't really faze some guys. So it's going to be interesting to see what Philadelphia looks like. But I am going to take the 76ers in six.
Sounds good. So we both agree on that front. We'll go to the next series, the 2-7, the series that all of you are looking forward to, the Bucks as a 7 seed against the 2nd seed of Boston Celtics. Second seed Boston Celtics, I think, on paper, more so than less. I think if you look at the power rankings of this Eastern Conference playoffs, I don't think they're second-best team in the Eastern Conference. I think they're more like the fourth-best team, maybe, because no Kyrie Irving, no Gordon Hayward. Of course, they have played with him all season. I mean, your best player on this team right now is probably Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, or Al Horford. You know, you don't have Marcus Smart either. He's going to be out. I don't know if he's going to come back. Maybe if it goes six or seven games, he can maybe get back in time, but Giannis is by far the best player on the court in the series, and a good opportunity for Milwaukee, as bad as they've been all season, to win a playoff series still get their goal that they set for themselves at the start of the year. We need to win a playoff series. We need to win a playoff series. Now they come into the playoffs at a lower seed than they were last year, but there's people out there giving them a chance because, of course, the injuries to Boston.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they try to defend Giannis, probably with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on him, but I don't think either could stop him. I mean, that wingspan is just so damn long. You already brought it up. I mean, Marcus Smart, I'm hearing that he won't be able to come back unless there is a Game 7, then potentially he can. But the problem is that Brad Stevens is just that good of a coach that he's had a little bit of time to prepare. Right now, I guarantee he's drawn up a plan for Giannis. It's going to come down to, we know Giannis is going to get his buckets. We know he's going to average 25 at least in this series. His assist numbers will be there. He's going to pull down 8 to 9 rebounds. It's going to depend on other guys stepping up. You know, is Brogdon fully healthy? What's Jabari going to look like in this playoff series? I mean, especially going into a free agency period or an offseason that's pretty, you know, uncertain right now. It's going to come down to the X factors for Milwaukee. And if they step up, they knock down shots, because, you know, they're not a three-point shooting team. So that's how I think Boston's going to try to beat them, obviously, is trading two for threes. But I think it's going to be, man, I want to say Milwaukee. In fact, I put some money down on them, plus 125. I really like the value in that. I was hoping it'd be a little bit higher. But, man, I hate betting against Brad Stevens. You know, I hate betting against LeBron as a player, and I hate betting against Brad Stevens ever since
he's
was
a hell
coaching
of a coach.
At Butler, and I was... I mean, college hoops.
I think you have to give the coach of the year to Dwayne Casey, but Brad Stevens, you put him up against the coaches in the NBA, he's one of the tops, and he's been that way since he's made the jump to the NBA coming from Butler, and he's got this team playing well, even without Kyrie Irving. This is not going to be a cakewalk. Like I said, just moments ago, I still think they're the fourth, maybe third best team in the Eastern Conference, even without Kyrie Irving. There's still going to be a tough series to win, even with having those guys out. But one thing the Boston does really well, they defend. extremely well.
Yeah,
a good defensive team. And they don't need Kyrie Irving to be a good defensive team. They don't even need Marcus Smart to be a good defensive team. Al Horford's one of the best big man defenders. He's a guy that can defend on the interior and get out to the three-point line. And if Milwaukee does go to that small lineup where Giannis is at the five, Horford's a guy that can guard Giannis.
Yeah.
And not in this. And when I say that, I don't mean he can shut him down, but he can stay with Giannis.
He can keep up with him, especially in the half court.
Exactly. And even at his age, he's still so versatile. But one thing that worries me is Boston, I don't know if they're going to have as much trouble scoring as people may think because of the inadequacy of the Bucks defense.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get out on shooters, okay? They're going to leave a lot of open guys.
Jabari falls asleep.
Bledsoe falls asleep.
Back
doors, he could go all day on him.
Yeah.
Giannis is the only guy I'm confident in the series, and I know he's going to get his. I know he's going to play his ass off defensively, but you mentioned those X factors, but I think it's more so on the defensive end than it is on the offensive end.
Agreed.
Because the Bucks can score points. We know that.
Yeah.
They can score, but as far as that defense, it's shit.
Yeah, and I mean, when Kyrie Irving went down and when Marcus Smart went down, everybody expected the Celtics to take this step back. And, I mean, they didn't skip a beat. Like, they were beating pretty good teams. I mean, I say good teams like OKC, but, I mean, you know, talented teams, and they were sticking with them. They were beating them. They were taking teams to overtime. So I'm not fully confident like a lot of people are. I mean, this is who you wanted to play. Let's not get it twisted. Like, this is the matchup that you definitely wanted.
Yeah, if it's between Boston, Toronto, Cleveland, or Philly, I want to play Boston.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's not going to be a cakewalk. And I don't think that even the Bucks don't get by the series – that it's a failure for them, because I still think Boston is the better team in the sense of they don't have more talent, but they're coached better.
Yeah.
They play defense better. The players have bought in, whereas we've seen with the Bucks, we don't know if they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the chemistry is better in Boston. So it's all those factors. It doesn't matter if the Bucks may have a more talented team. You still have to have those other factors to be successful, and the Bucks have shown maybe they don't have those factors, but...
But I think in the playoffs, man, I go with superstars.
And Giannis will be the best player on the court.
He will be the best player on the
court.
And
I said this every podcast now since we were getting close to the playoffs. I said, I'm taking the Bucks if we're playing Boston. So they're playing Boston. I'm taking the Bucks.
And I said I was going to take Boston, but I've changed my mind both financially.
Well, I hope
and
you have, because you bet
podcast.
Against Boston.
But, I mean, it's going to be a great series. I am going to say the Bucks in seven. You know what this reminds me of is when Derrick Rose tore his ACL in Philadelphia with literally nobody, with Drew Holiday and
Evan Turner
beat the Bulls.
Now, Derrick Rose.
Because he was the best player on the court.
Exactly.
And he was the superstar. And everybody's like, oh, the Bulls, you know, they're still well coached. They got Joakim Noah. They're still going to beat Philadelphia with all these young guys, and Philadelphia took it to them and they beat them. Then they lost to LeBron, granted, in the second round, but that's what I see with this. I see this Bucks team winning this series because these guys are hungry. I mean, Giannis wants to win a playoff series, because if he loses to Boston, people are going to come down pretty hard on him because he is a superstar.
Yeah, and
that's another thing too,
is
more than
and
locally.
We can talk about that in a future podcast.
Yeah,
that I think superstars take too much heat because people look at the NBA and it being a 5-on-5 game, and they say that an individual can impact the game so much more than any other sport. I still think that you can't put it all on one guy to win, and it's not going to be just Giannis. He needs help, just like LeBron needs help, just like Durant
Jabari,
needs help,
yeah.
Just like Steph Curry needs help. But I don't think you can come down that hard on Giannis if he goes out there and puts up 30 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, and 6 assists a game, and just dominant on both ends of the court, and they still lose. But, it's going to happen because you're a superstar and you're the main guy, and if you don't get by a team that has suffered all these injuries, you're going to get shit on for it. But I think the one difference, I like the reference you made to the Derrick Rose when he tore his ACL with – well, they were up by 10 at the end of that game, and we can get to that on a different date, of course, because that we all know how that turned out. But Derrick Rose was so much more important to that Bulls team than Kyrie Irving is to the Celtics team.
Yeah.
Because as we look at the Bucks and Celtics right now, as is with the healthy players on the floor, I still think Boston isn't as talented as what Milwaukee has. But that Bulls team, and their second-best player was Joakim Noah, or Luol Deng. This Boston team still has Jason Tatum, still got Al Horford, still got Jaylen Brown, and they still got some talented players on that team, whereas that Bulls team, I don't know. And the way it happened, too, in the series, I mean, that team was just...
Right, and so that's a great point, though, because there was no time to prepare.
Exactly, and this Boston team had time to adjust and play without Kyrie Irving, and and they've proven they can do it. But I'm taking Bucks, and as Brandon Jennings would say, I'm Bucks in six. That's for the culture. And I'm going to take Bucks in six.
I'll say seven.
They're going to win on their home floor at the BMO, one of the last regular season games at the BMO. They're going to win on game six.
I'll go Bucks in seven. As great as Brad Stevens is, I mean, he's going to average 0 points, zero rebounds, and zero assists in this series. He's going to coach circles around Prunty. That's my prediction right there. That's a guarantee, actually.
Yeah. But we all know who the better coach is.
But just too much talent. And, I mean, who's going to stop Giannis? You're going to need a big series from Middleton. Jabari's going to need to come up big, and I think he will. So we'll go Bucks in seven. I will.
So you got Bucks in seven. I got Bucks in six. So we agreed on every single...
except for the Pelicans and
the Blazers. That's my upset pick. So I got two upset picks, I guess. I got the Pelicans over the Blazers. As far as seeding goes, the 6-3. Then I have the Bucks 7-2 over the Celtics, which you will agree with me on. Mm-hmm. Bucks in six for me, Bucks in seven for you. So playoffs, man. I am so excited. It starts tomorrow. I'll be sitting on my couch with a beer and 10 other beers in the fridge and just watching basketball all day. That's the dream.
Yeah, you start things off with the Spurs and the Warriors. Should be a good day. And then Sunday, you get Celtics and Bucks, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Awards, if you want to hit on those real quick. Let's take a look at the awards. So we went through our first round of the playoffs. As the playoffs go on, we'll get to our second round picks, third round picks, and eventually up to the finals, and we'll see who we have in there. But we'll go to the individual awards for all these players. MVP would start there. That's the big one. I look at two guys for MVP, and that's James Harden in Houston. That's LeBron James in Cleveland. As much as I want to say LeBron James, I think James Harden takes it home. LeBron James, as far as totals go, he leads James Harden in almost every offensive statistic.
Yeah.
As far as totals. One thing James Harden leads LeBron in, and it's really the only argument he has, except for the wins that his team has and being the number one overall seed, is he has a higher net rating than LeBron. And so that stat basically says how much you affect the game on both ends. James Harden's number one in the NBA, LeBron's number two. I don't put too much into that, but I just look at what James Harden has done this year. He definitely deserves it, and how the NBA picks their MVPs, it's always what's new.
Yeah.
Not what's old, and right. LeBron's old, and James Harden's new, so I think James Harden's going to win MVP.
What's so crazy about James Harden is that teams just can't figure him out, because each offseason he develops a new skill. That step back three, you know, the Euro step was a go-to move for him. Everything that he does, he just gets better every year. James Harden really does. I don't want to hear people say he's selfish or this or that. I mean, I don't care what you think about the guy. He works hard each offseason. He comes back better. So I am going to give it to Harden as well. I think second would be LeBron James. I think third would be Anthony Davis. And if I'm going four, I'm going to go Giannis over Kevin Durant, as good as Durant's been. Just because if you take Giannis off this Bucks team, they probably win 10 to 11 games, especially without Jabari for the majority of the season.
You going that low?
I mean,
10, 11?
Dude, yeah. Some nights it's like, shit. I would like to say, you know, they'd still be like a 25-30 win team, because, you know, Middleton's a 20-point-per-game scorer and a decent defender, but... man, there's some nights where that team baffles you even with Giannis. So, I probably would go that low, man. And then let's go Rookie of the Year, because we talked about that a little bit. Everybody's going to say Ben Simmons, and I'm going to go against that. I'm going to say Donovan Mitchell.
Well, we will agree on that. I'm going to go Ben Simmons. I mean, I think he's just been the best rookie that the NBA has to offer. He does so much more than just score. He plays great defense.
He's a 6'10 guard that can defend every position.
He's LeBron James. Yeah. I mean, he's LeBron James 2.0. And I just think he's so much better than Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell may have a higher scoring average, but I look at Ben Simmons, what he's done for the Sixers team, a team that has not been in the playoffs since, was it 2009? Is the last time they've been in the playoffs? It's been a while. I mean, they've been doing the trust the process.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell came into a situation, no Gordon Hayward, of course, but he had a foundation defensively of Rudy Gobert, and they were in the playoffs the year before. Ben Simmons has pretty much completely turned this around. He's had help with Joel Embiid, but Ben Simmons has been the main guy.
And it's crazy because nobody even talks about Jason Tatum as a candidate. I mean, I'd have him third on the list, but look what he's done on a 55-win team. We're talking about the playoffs. We're doing a preview, and he's going to probably be the best player on that court, or second best player on that court for the Celtics. And that's what happens, though, when you have a 6'10 guard, like I said, like Ben Simmons, that could guard any position. I mean, guys, court vision's ridiculous. And then you got Donovan Mitchell, who's a phenomenal player and averages 20 points per game for another playoff contender. So great rookie class. We're not even talking about Fox, Dennis Smith, Lonzo Ball. We're not even bringing up, which is just fantastic for many reasons. But
he's had a great year, though.
He's had a great year, but he's not even in the conversation. That's how good this rookie class has been. Let's go most improved player. I think we're both going to agree on this.
I mean, this one is probably the most obvious choice. It's Victor Oladipo. I mean, how can you not give it to Victor Oladipo? Other candidates that are out there, I mean...
Clint Capella.
Yeah, you can put him up there. You can put... Man, I'm trying to even think who else you can...
Capella
throw
played
out there.
A shitload of minutes this
year.
Yeah,
he did. And Capella was part of that big three with Chris Paul and James Harden.
Steven Adams.
When they play together, they barely lose. Yeah. You know, they've been that good. But Steven Adams is the guy you can put up there.
63% shooting this year for Steven Adams.
Yeah. Dunks.
Ridiculous. True. Yeah, that's true. Jamal Murray is probably a candidate for me.
Denver. You could make the argument for Jokic even.
Yeah, Jokic.
That's how Giannis won it last year. You know, you get better every year. You could make the argument for Giannis.
Yeah, he could be the most improved player.
It's two straight years.
He could be the most improved player every year just because every year, like I said, he develops a new skill. Sixth man of the year, Lou Williams probably, like every year.
Yeah. do we even have to talk about him?
Eric Gordon could be up there. Man, I don't even know who else I'd throw on that list. Nico Maritich.
He's got no more beard anymore. I don't like that.
Coach of the year. I'll give it to Brad Stevens since you're going to go Dwayne Casey. Just, I mean, A, you get a whole new roster. Granted, it's a better roster. I mean, you lose Gordon Hayward in such just a terrible fashion. First game of the year. That could really, I thought the Celtics were going to be like a 45-win team after that. Not because I don't think the world of Kyrie Irving. I think he's the best point guard, second best point guard in the league. But, I mean, that gruesome injury, your whole team just sits there and watches that. It's the first freaking game of the season.
And they lost the next
not
game.
Not even a quarter into the season.
Yeah, they lost the next game in the Bucks, and you're thinking like, oh, here we go with Boston, right?
Yeah, these guys are done.
No, they're fine.
Yeah, they
start rolling.
They won 55 freaking games.
I mean, the second half hasn't been as good, but the first half, they were at a point where they were just light years ahead of everybody in the Eastern Conference, and Kyrie has proven that he can do it by himself. He can lead a team, but they've had other guys step up. I mean, Jason Tatum, who saw that coming when Boston traded that first pick? They didn't want Lonzo Ball. They didn't want Markelle Fultz. They wanted Jason Tatum. And that was one of the draft day steals. Yeah, he went three. That's pretty high, right? But he was a steal for Boston.
So
they traded back. They knew they were going to draft Jason Tatum the whole time.
I'll go Stevens, Casey, and then I'll go Quinn Snyder. Three, because same thing with Utah. I mean, they got rid of their whole team, and they didn't bring in all-stars and MVP candidates.
I go with Dwayne Casey number one. He's still my coach of the year. What he's done with Toronto has been impressive. You know, this team has always been a team the last several years with that core of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, that duo that just could not get enough, right? Mm-hmm. You have a great backcourt, but you cannot do enough. DeMar DeRozan has completely added to his game. He's added the outside jump shot. He's been He's taken over as the face of that team, where Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan the last few years have been kind of a duo. It's DeMar DeRozan's team, and Dwayne Casey's been a big part of that, putting them together. And he has his team playing with some no-namers. You know, got Van Vliet off the bench. You got Valanciunas, who so many years they were saying that he wasn't getting enough touches. They haven't been incorporated in the offense like we thought they would, but they're working from the outside-inside game. They're building their team like the Warriors, and Dwayne Casey's been a huge part of that. I got him winning Coach of the Year.
Yeah, you know who Toronto kind of reminds me of, and we'll get a better look? Remember when the Atlanta Hawks a couple years ago just like kind of figured it all out?
Yeah, when they won like 60 games.
They sent all five starters to the All-Star game, including Kyle frickin' Korver.
Yeah.
That's kind of who Toronto reminds me of, though. And then what happened? They ran into LeBron. So if they actually get past LeBron, then I'll think a little bit more about this season.
You know I'm not picking them to get past LeBron.
No, yeah, but that's kind of who they remind me of a little bit. I think that's my comparison. But, yeah, so I go Stevens, Casey, and then, like I said, you know, Quinn Snyder could even be thrown in that conversation because, I mean, I was looking at Utah's roster, and I was like, this is probably a 25-win team, and Donovan Mitchell's been freaking awesome.
Yeah, no, you can look at Utah, too, but I go Dwayne Casey on this one. But we could get surprised maybe. You know, Brett, there's always coaches you could put up there. And there's always deserving coaches. But I go Dwayne Casey, go Brad Stevens.
Yeah. Anything? Did we miss anything?
Defensive player of the year?
Defensive player of the year.
Did we get to that?
I don't think we have. Who are you going with on that?
Rudy Gobert. You look at what Utah's done as a team. They're the best defensive team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And Rudy Gobert is their anchor. I mean, he hasn't played enough games, though. That's the only thing that kind of worries me. He's played 56 games this year. So if they take that into account, maybe Rudy Gobert does not get it. But his impact has been great. The Jazz, without him, 18-26 this season.
Right.
Without Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
They finished the season 30-8.
Yeah, I'd probably go either Rudy Gobert with you or Joel Embiid or maybe even Anthony Davis. That'd be my top three. I think that you could kind of change any of them, and I really wouldn't be too disappointed. But I'll go Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid?
Yeah, I'll give him Defensive Player of the Year. Why not? Guy deserves all the recognition. He's probably my favorite Twitter follow.
Oh, he's funny on Twitter.
He's good on there.
He is, even though when he shits on the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, he shits on everybody.
He does.
Except for LeBron.
Yeah, he can't shit on LeBron. Remember we tried to recruit
smart.
LeBron?
Yeah. Everybody's yeah. shooting their
the
shot.
The Knicks put a billboard. That's great.
Yeah, everybody should get a billboard.
LeBron watch 2018 is going to be fun.
What a waste of money, though, because he's staying in Cleveland. I'm saying it
You think
now.
So?
I do.
I disagree with you, but we'll find out.
We'll see.
All right, so that's it. NBA podcast.
The wrap.
That's going to be it for us. We'll be back next week, of course, and we'll look ahead at the rest of round one. We'll get you round two. We'll find the awards by round two, and we'll see if we're right and if we're wrong.
Hopefully the Bucks will have a series lead against
right.
the Celtics.
Let's hope so.
And I'll be a little bit richer.
All right, how about this? This time next week, where are the Bucks going to be? They're going to have three games if we do the podcast next Wednesday.
I think they'll probably be up 2-1.
2-1, okay.
I think they need to steal a game in Boston.
Yes. If they don't steal a game.
Preferably game one.
I'm going to get worried if they don't steal game one or game two.
If they don't steal a game in Boston, series over, Boston's winning.
Okay.
I will say that.
So I'll take Bucks 2-1 by the next time we do our podcast.
Same here.
That's Ryan Horvath. I'm Cody Grant, 105.7 FM The Fan.